I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The Mideast changed, and so did the world, because of one fruit seller in Tunisia. Mohamed Bouazizi set himself on fire to protest corruption and police harassment in 2011. His desperate act expressed a sentiment that apparently millions of other Arabs had also been feeling. After Bouazizi's death in January of that year, a revolution toppled Tunisia's longtime president, and the Arab Spring had begun. It's been almost 4 years since then, and Tunisia's push toward democracy continues, with some growing pains. Elections for parliament were held there this weekend. Reporter Navina Couture is in Tunis, and I asked her if the relatively smooth vote meant that Tunisia is now a fully functioning democracy.
No. I think it means it's moving slowly and steadily towards a functioning democracy. I think having an election, a democratic, transparent election that went well was really important. But I think what the country really needs to do to anchor its democracy is it needs to give the constitution it adopted earlier this year a meaning by actually passing some reforms, by reforming the justice system, by reforming the security services and the interior ministry, because this country used to be a police state.
Now, partial results from this election are coming in. What seem to be the key trends so far? What have you heard, especially regarding the Islamist parties?
It looks like the governing coalition of Islamists and smaller secular parties has lost the majority in parliament. The Islamists have come second. The first spot, and I don't think that's going to change, even though we don't have final results yet, is going to be taken by the Nida Tunis party, which is a fairly new party.
Right, and they're basically a purely secular party, which kind of goes in contrast with the powers that have run Tunisia since the revolution. That's a pretty dramatic change.
I do think it is a very dramatic change, not necessarily because the power has shifted from an Islamist party to a secular party. Neither of those parties have enough of a majority in parliament to be able to govern. So it might very well be that these two big parties that were fighting against each other and that are political opponents might end up in a coalition together.
Now, you've been living in Tunisia for about a year, Navina, and I gather you recently traveled to Sidi Bouzid, that hardscrabble town where the market seller Mohamed Bouazizi set himself on fire in 2011. I gather some people advised you against going.
Yes, that's true. Most people here in the capital will tell you that it's a dangerous place. It's full of people who don't like journalists, who don't like talking to women. And I think it sort of highlights the divide in this country and how far this country still has to go. When I was in Sidi Bouzid, it was a perfectly friendly place. People were incredibly eloquent, and they made absolutely valid points about the personal expectations they have. It's a place that is still suffering from underdevelopment, is completely cut off from the development that happened in the big cities on the coast here, and feels really neglected by the government. And it's very interesting to see that on Sunday, when Tunisians voted, Sidi Bouzid ended up being the place with the lowest number of people turning out to vote.
It sounds like there are two, maybe more than two, but at least two Tunisias, the Francophone elite in the cities like Tunis, and then in the Arabic-speaking interior, rural areas like Sidi Bouzid. You're feeling that that's playing out in politics to the point that these rural areas like Sidi Bouzid feel disenfranchised.
Yes, I think it plays out in politics, it plays out in the economy, it plays out in every single aspect of Tunisian society. There are a lot of complaints in the interior of the country about the healthcare provisions provided there and the fact that there are not enough doctors. And it's something that Ennahda had been trying to change. That's the Islamist party. They had been trying to force doctors to move there and provide healthcare there, but there was a lot of resistance against that. There's a big group of people who have very legitimate demands to participate in the economy and who feel neglected and who feel abandoned, really. And then there are people who are doing fairly well, who have a decent income, who have access to bars, restaurants, who live in a part of Tunisia that is modern, where the streets are good, where the trash is being picked up, where basically things function. And I think for this democracy to grow and to stabilize, the Tunisian media especially needs to take into account what is happening in the rest of the country and not just in the capital.
So in about a month, there will be presidential elections in Tunisia with a runoff expected in December. Islamist parties are keeping a pretty low profile because they say, anyway, they've learned from Egypt. Tell us what they have learned from Egypt and its own dubious experience with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes. They're actually being quite realistic about what they can achieve in government and how they can achieve things in government. And I think what they have learned from the experience in Egypt is that being inclusive is more important than having a majority.
Correspondent Navina Couture in Tunis. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.